Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Let's Talk Urban with host Felicia Bradshaw
at Urban Grapevine Magazine Project,
your number one source for the hottest author in urban fiction talk. Get put on.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. You tuned in to Let's Talk Urban, and I'm your host, Felicia Bradshaw. And our sponsor for tonight is Daryl Freeman, author of A Dreadful Day. Daryl is bringing his book, A Dreadful Day, to the Berkeley, California, in the form of a play for the very first time. So you guys stay tuned, and to keep up with the progress and product placement for this play, as well as sponsor packages, log on to www.freemansworld.com. That's www.freemansworld.net. The director for the play will be Dion Cooper, and I hear, I've heard through the grapevine, pun intended, that he will be taking walk-ons for certain levels of sponsorship. So you guys make sure that you stay tuned on Daryl Freeman's progress with bringing his train to Berkeley, California. Okay, excuse my voice. I'm a bit under the weather, but I'm here. So tonight's guest is Yara Kalima. She was born in Newark, New Jersey in the early 90s, and as a child, she would spend hours writing stories. When her friends were outside playing, and she was in the house writing, sounds like me. Being that she was an only child, she had a lot of time on her hands. Naturally, when people asked what she wanted to be when she grew up, she would say, an author. In 2013, Yara published her first novella, Too Much to Chew. It was her greatest accomplishment at the time. Soon after came three more outstanding urban fiction novels. Then she started Swag Productions, wanting to establish something creative. The acronym stands for Strong Women Achieving Greatness, SWAG. Can't beat that. SWAG Productions is a platform for self-published authors. The company offers services such as editing, proofreading, and typing. Now Yara is working hard at school and becoming a bestseller, which shouldn't be long, if not already. She is excited to embark on this new journey with SWAG Productions and F.E. Mag. It's her latest accomplishment. It is a female magazine. Even though sometimes it's difficult to juggle motherhood, being a wife, a student, an author, and a publisher, she manages. Like all moms, like all women, we wear many hats. With hard work and dedication, she will achieve all of her goals. And tonight we'll be able to discuss some of the goals that Yara has in place for herself in the future. And we'll also be able to shake Yara's pen to see what she's been up to as far as her next write. After these commercials, we shall get in touch with the pentastic, shall I say, Yara Kalima.
I wanna reign over my empire like seas. I wanna walk over water and die like Jesus. I wanna G-pilot jet, fully loaded, all new features. gone for the night. Lie, cheat, steal, fight, just to get on for the night. I want everybody at attention. You can call me Mr. Lion when I visit. If money is the root to all evil, you can see me ball. People never see me fall, cause I got the time of the essence. How damn it, keep me focused. Mind is a weapon. Gotta keep it loaded. Keep it loaded. They all wanna see you whenever you make it. They all wanna come with your name in the papers. The more that you give them, the more that they take it. So you gotta remember to cover the bases. Just to get on for the night. Lie, cheat, steal, fight. Just to get on for the night. I want everybody at attention. You can call me Mr. Lion when I visit. If money is the root to all evil, you can't see me ball. People never. Fight just to get on for the night. Lie, cheat, steal, fight just to get on for the night. I want everybody at attention. You could call me Mr. Lion when I visit. If money is the root to all evil, you can't see me ball. People never see me fall, cause I got the power.
I guess everybody can relate to the theme song to The Empire. I played this because it has relevance to Yara Kalima, and she is growing and investing in a strong empire, a female ran empire. And we will bring her on, delve into a little bit of what she's doing. Hi, Yara.
Hey, Felicia.
How are you?
I am great. All praise is due to Allah. I am wonderful.
He's mighty. So, we said we were going to dig all up in your business.
I'm ready.
So, what's going on with y'all up to date? We're going to go from the present to the past.
Today has been a super long day. The release of my new baby, Even the Bluest Hour, supposed to happen today, but we had to postpone it until Monday. When I went to put the book up on Creative Space, they sent me a letter saying that my text on my cover is illegible, and I have to get a new cover made. So I'm a little bit uptight about that because I wanted to have my paperback within the next week or so. But, Allah works in mysterious ways, and this might be my big break. That's why it's giving me so much hell, and I'm just going to wait to how it is with it. Allah makes no mistakes, so just got to go with his decree.
Yeah, people gonna understand though, y'all. You know, life takes precedence over everything else. We like to believe we're in charge. You know what I mean? Some people want you to have these superpowers, but we ain't got no superpowers, honey.
Mm-hmm.
We gonna accept the chips as they lie. You know, because like you said, there's a reason. There is a reason. You know, this is your baby, and maybe something was seen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For the better that you didn't see.
So I'm cool, and I'm just like rolling with the flow now. Hopefully Monday my ebook will be ready, and all of the readers will get a taste of Ms. Madison from Even the Bluest Hour. I'm so excited about this book. It's different. It's crime fiction. It's out of my norm, but I'm ready.
I noticed a lot of authors are delving into the crime fiction. I particularly love it. I love when Quorum writes it. I think he's at his best when he writes crime fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, we don't got to step out the hood. Crime happens in our neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? But the different type of writing is powerful.
Yeah, it's different.
So what is different, though? You keep saying it's different. It's still
Yaira Kalima, but it's different for me because, one, I normally write books and they're set in Newark, New Jersey. This book is set in Alaska. Two, I mostly write about African Americans. The main character in this book is Caucasian. It's just like there's no drug dealing in this book, no extraness. It's just straight about her quest to get a baby. She doesn't get it, and she goes berserk. Like, so it's different from everything that I've ever written. My last couple of releases have been outside of my box. My first release of this year, which was Jocene, was Islamic fiction. So I'm just all over the place this year, and I hope y'all can keep up. Put y'all seatbelts on. We going for a ride.
I know that's right. You know, when you do variety, and it's hard to be all over the place. Because I'd be all over the place, but I'm a mess all over the place. It's different when you be all over the place and you're stepping nine. That's all nice. I don't know what that's like, y'all. But it's a blessing. I know that it must be. I noticed that you have this book called Dungeon Master, and I've never seen it. What's up with that?
Oh, because Dungeon Master was published under Salim Publications. I'm no longer with them. So I'm reinventing my first couple of releases with that company was Dungeon Master, Too Much to Chew, and Brick City Chick. I'm reinventing those books. Like, Brick City Chick 1 is, to this day, my best-selling book. But now we have part 2, so I'm reinventing Dungeon Master, and he is going to be popping up again very soon. Very, very soon. He's not on ebooks. He's getting on ebooks, but I like paperback, so I'll have a paperback very soon.
I really like this cover. It is very strong.
Shout out to Ms. Dynasty. She makes all of my book covers. She made all of them except Brick City Shake One, so those were made for. They were made by Brittany Williams. And she didn't make Gossip Village either, but everything else I had, Dynasty covered me.
You, when you write, I'm noticing, like, your characters' names. You stick close to your religion background when it comes to names. And
a lot of times, yes.
A lot of people don't stay true to who they are. They step outside of who they are in the real world, and they encounter these, I don't know, people and these names that have nothing to do with them. And I think that's where people weaken their writing strength, when they don't write what they know. They write what they want. You know what I mean? And I
guess
that you write.
Go ahead.
I didn't hear you.
I was going to say, I guess it really depends, especially for me, what I'm writing about, because I try to test my limits on everything that I write. Dungeon Master is kind of like, it's kind of crime fiction, but it's kind of erotic, too, in a sense. So, you know, yeah. So I try to push myself every time. That's actually my sophomore book. It was the second book I put out with Salim Publications. And, a lot of people, I get a lot of good feedback about that book, and I also put my religion in that book as well. But I get a lot of feedback about that book, especially the end, how the book ended. It's always, like, the number one question people ask me is, like, why did I choose to send the character to hell in the book? And, So I always get questions about that. But
parents spoil.
Yeah, I send them to the hellfire. You know, a lot of people say they don't get, especially urban fiction books like that, where the person, the character dies and they go to their eternal resting place. So a lot of times it doesn't happen that way in urban books. And, you know, I was glad that that being my sophomore book, people ran into that. Like, that's one of the reasons why it was on, I forget what the initials stand for, but they had some type of top 100 thing going on in the beginning of the year, and that book was number 26.
Wow, cause I wasn't, you know, I'm nosy. I be all in the pages.
Okay, it's somebody's book club. It's like UBU. Something I can't remember.
I've never seen it. I guess the further I dug into your pen is when I saw all the write ups on it. You know,
yeah.
It's always a fool one to you or two stone. But let people know that you see, and this is sitting at a 4.5 stars. But what brought it down was the review who said potential but random. And I don't get that, because how could anything wrapped around a religion that you really see in urban fiction be random? I think some people just don't, you know what I mean? They just don't want to understand. They don't want to get it, because it is not in there familiar. So what do you say when you get a review on any of your work where you can even tell that the factor is not the writing?
I had this one review on, I want to say, Gossip Village. And the person basically was like, oh, I thought this book was going to be good. I was so excited about this book, yada, yada, yay. And they gave a 2-star review, and he was like, oh, I thought this book was going to be great. And I was confused because I didn't know who was talking, who was telling the story. You know, so I don't know if it's my writing per se or their ability to accept new things, because a lot of times they want the authors to be commercial. And I even hear authors saying this themselves, that they have to stick to this one particular formula for writing their books or building their characters. And when you try to step outside of that norm, when you try to step outside of that box, you become like this unofficial author. Like, you're not good enough, because you're not writing the same formula that Kawan writes. You're not writing the same formula that Wahida Clark writes. You can't bring your own style into it. Like, I'm different, and I try to create characters that's different. There's really a character in my stories. Like, we talked about this, Felicia, when we were going to do the collab together, which we still can do. That, you know, I don't want to talk about a girl who's light-skinned, long, flowy hair, she's skinny, she lives in the hood. No, like, there are some beautiful, dark-skinned sisters out here. There are some beautiful sisters that don't weigh 100 pounds. So I want to bring that into my story. And I think that that's why... And Jocene, I don't even describe the female character at all, like the one he winds up falling in love with. All you know is that she has pretty eyes, because that's all he could see is her eyes. He can't see the rest of her body, but he still falls in love with her. So it's like, I want to bring that to light, that you don't have to be this. Especially when you're writing, you could create whatever you want to create. You could say that the whole planet was black people. You could say that the whole planet was Caucasian people. You could say that the shit took place on the moon. If that's what you want to do, it's fiction. You could write whatever you want to write. You know, so you have to think about these things. Just like I saw, you know, somebody was saying, oh, I'm tired of authors writing about places that they've never been. I've never been to Alaska before, but I just wrote a whole book about this couple that live in Alaska. You know, so it's up to you as the author to do the research that you need to do. You got to bring it. You got to bring your A game every single time. And if you can't think outside the box, don't expect
to take your career to a different height.
Right. So I see it. It says missing a lot. I was really excited to read this book, especially from the other reviews, but this was a message to me. I skipped more pages than I read. You know what? She's irrelevant. I'm sorry. Oh, did I say that out loud? I understand that everyone is not going to like your work.
Mm-hmm.
And
I appreciate that. I appreciate even the people who don't like my work. Like, I appreciate when you don't like what I wrote. That's okay. Like, it's all right. It's not going to reach everybody, but if it do reach us, I don't care if it reach. If I had four, like, really loyal fans, really loyal readers, I'm cool with that. Because if y'all going to rock with me, everything I put out, no matter if I put it out in ebook or paperback or whatever, if I give it to you on some printed out paper, you going to rock with me, I'm cool with that.
I want to, I get that too. But I also want to write better. You understand? I also want to monopolize off of your one-star reviews. You understand? And
mm-hmm.
I want to understand what you don't understand. So when a reader does not particularly care for what you wrote, whether it's your style of writing, whether they're so stuck in thinking that these books are real, and you throw something in there that's, you know, far-fetched to them because they want to believe that this is all real. And tell us why. You need to tell us why as reviewers. I have fallen so far from caring about the reviews. I mean, it's nice to have them. It is. It is really nice to have them. But I would prefer one strong reviewer who sat and said, you know what, I didn't like the way you presented your character because that person didn't stick to their M.O. You know what I'm saying? Or mm-hmm. said he was a thug. How he a thug and he be a pissy moo moo. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Explain to me why. So the only reason why I brought up the probably looks like you don't have too many underneath, but three or four. So that's why I asked. When they are so far to the left, do you feel
mm-hmm.
that they're up there with that opinion? Does it like? Do you jot it down? Like, you know, in my last book,
I think about my one, well, I only had a few reviews lower than a three, but when I do get those types of reviews, I think about what could I go back and work on, what could I make more clear in this story, because the beautiful thing about Kindle Direct Publishing is you could upload it again, like if that's what you wanted to do, if you wanted to fix it and then redo it, you can do that. So I want to think about what would the future readers of this book think if I did such and such differently. But I have to also take into account that I can't please everybody. Some people are going to be happy and some people aren't. And a lot of times, like you mentioned, they don't leave in-depth reviews. Like, they just say, oh, it was a one-star, this book was whack, it didn't hold my attention. But they don't say, oh, well, I think this, and that. You know, I think that one reason is that it may influence other people who want to read the book. And two is because they don't know the author personally. Now, if you felt that type of way about something that Yaira Kalima wrote, normally my information is in the back of the book. So you could find out how to reach me so that we could talk on a more one-to-one level. Like, when I put out Too Much to Chew, Stacey Stevens was the first person who contacted me, and that was my first book. And she was like, I love this story, but I think that, you know, if you do another story, you should write it like this, or you should bring to, like, these issues. So I appreciated that from her. She still gave me a 5-star review, but she felt like there were some things that I could have extended upon, but it was my first book, and I was a little hot-headed, like, you know, a little 20,000-word novel, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm about to put out this book. This is my first book. So I'm excited. But she did you know, tell me what she thought. She didn't leave it in the review, but she did contact me personally. So I think that, you know, if you know the author, you should put your ideas out there, because as often we want your feedback and we want to be able to keep your attention and keep, you know, monopolizing off of what you spend.
Wow. So when you wrote Brick City, I love this. When you wrote Brick City, right, mentally, where were you?
I wanted to write a book about a girl that was kind of like me. So Camilla is my pet baby because she is the character that I wrote about that's the most like Ira Kalima. She is a 17, 18-year-old girl in high school dealing with a guy that's way older than her. And she gets herself into some traps that is hard to get herself out of. And that was me when I was 17, 18. I was dealing with a guy who was, well, I had my daughter when I was 19. So I was dealing with her father when I was 18. And he's 18 years older than me. So, you know, I've been there. I've been on the same route as Camilla, getting pregnant and not knowing what to do, you know. So that's my baby. And that was the space I was in. Like, I wanted to portray somebody who was like every little girl next door who thinks she's grown until her mother put her foot down her throat. You know, that's who Camilla is. So I enjoy writing that book.
You have a review by Big Buff from Sir, and she titled this five-star review as Life Lessons. And she says that, I truly enjoyed this book. It made me think about those little life lessons. The grass is not greener on the other side. Love is blind, and a hard head leaves a soft behind. I heard that one a long time. Wolves come in lamb, gentle clothing. What God has for you is for you. Must I go on? This book will touch some everyday life experiences. So I guess you did your job. You know, when you can pull out, when you can have people walking the shoes of your characters, you have truly done your job. You know, when people get mad and they don't like it, and when they don't like it to the point where they could break your book down from beginning to end, you still did your job. You know, so when you what made you write Brick City Chick 2? Was it intentional, or did the readers push you to do that?
Oh, it was, I don't know. Like, most of the times I'm just, like, thinking of something new and exciting to do, and she just happened. Like, I didn't plan it out. She just happened, you know. Just started writing, and it became Brick City Chick. And the beautiful thing about that is that I waited a whole year for part two to come out. And you can see, like, literally on the paper, my transition from being a new author, because that was my, Brick City Chick was my third book. Like, you can see my transition from being a new author to how my writing has grown from book one to book two, you know.
Now, what is your strength? What has become your strength?
My descriptions, like, persuasiveness, you know, that's what I want to call it, because I'm very, like, now I'm more about the details. Like, I can write something in chapter 4 and then in chapter 34 mention that thing that I wrote in chapter 4 that the reader may have forgotten about. So now my creativity has expanded. My ability to descriptively tell a story has expanded. So I've been able to go from just being able to tell a good story to now I could tell a whole story, not cuss one time, and still be talking about the hood, and you love it. So that's what has changed. I've changed as an author. I've grown a lot.
You know, people like to say, oh, I got better because they don't really know. You know what I'm saying? But you're so sure. And I want to know, what was your strength? What did you think your strength was when you first started writing. Like, oh, I'm good at this part right here. Like,
when I was new at being an author, I just knew that I could write. Like, I just knew I had this skill. So to me, that was my strength. Like, I have this a skill to write a whole story about people that I made up. So to me, that was my strength. Now my strength is to be able to really tell the story and be very A, B, C, D, E, F, G about it and not A, F, R, M, like, not just throwing things around. Now I have the skill to really put the story together event by event. But before it was just like, you know, I just want to get this out there, and I just want to tell a good story, and I just want to share this. Now I'm taking this thing really seriously. And I think it's because I'm independent. I'm independent often now, so I'm taking it even more seriously than I was before.
And plus you have a little more control over your overall product. But is that easier? Because now it's Yara's eyes opposed to a team of eyes. You know what I mean? Like, how do you know when the book is ready? You know what I mean?
I actually do have a team. Like, I have a whole system. I write an outline. And then I show the outline to a couple of people and say, okay, this is what I think this should be about. This is what I think I need to do. And then my one go-to girl, she'll say, okay, yeah, I think it's good. Then I'll write majority of the story. And I'll read it to my husband. And I say, listen to this. I'm going to read it to you. And he is raw about it. He be like, look, y'all, you did this. You shouldn't have put that there. You should have moved this over here. I don't think that's going to be, you know, you got to work a little bit harder on this part. You know, he was a good ear for me. So I do go through a whole process. And I have my editor who is the author of A Sims Playground, which has been number one on the gay literature top chart since it came out last year. Last year. So that's Shatuka Turner. She gave it to me also. She's the editor, so she'd be like, "Look, guy, you need to work on this." Most of the time, she'd be like, "Now, especially, she's like, Ivory, your pen has grown and is, you know, weakened now." So I'm glad to hear that from her. So it's like I do have a team of people who look at my books, but I think I take more pride in it now because I'm paying for it. I got to pay for the edit. I got to pay for the book cover. I got to pay for the book.
Now
I'm more into it.
It's you know, some people believe that we sit and we write these books and we shoot them out, and that's it. And we don't really care. We move on to the next one. And you have, just by talking to you, I can tell you that you have a relationship with all of your books. Jasmine, am I saying that right?
Excuse me? Jasmine.
Oh. Right. It was Jahid, right?
It was Jahad, yes, originally, but a little discrepancy happened, and I was just like, I'm walking away from this battle. I'm not going to take it. It is what it is. And I changed the name.
Well, that was, you know, it was good, better for you, too. It was better for you, and it was, you literally showed your growth as a person, period, because people don't understand when you know that is something belongs to you. You know what I mean? It's hard to shake it and let it go and be the better person when it comes to this industry, because it is cutthroat and people do bees and people do almost thrive off of stuff that happens to you that ain't good. You know what I mean? So when you changed it to Jocelyn,
it was hard. It was hard because I had fallen in love with him being Jahad. And when I first changed, I was still calling the book Jahad because I had fallen in love with that title. But what happened was I was supposed to sign a contract, and I decided I was going to be indie. I don't want to sign a contract. And when she drew the contract up, it had that I was writing this book Jahad and that she was going to help me publish it. And so I never signed the contract, though. when the book was already in progress, the book was up for pre-order at Jod. She contacted me and was like, oh, well, I kind of owned the title because we were in a tentative agreement with each other. And for a minute, I was like, you know, I'm going to go and talk to her about this. Maybe I could pay her off. But then she was like, oh, you have to become an author of my company. And I was just like, nah, I ain't doing that. So I just changed it.
That would have a lot of pressure.
Yes, yeah, so I just changed it. I was just like, nope. Nope, ain't going to happen. You know, so it worked out. And it was a smooth transition. It wasn't, you know, hard to do. All I had to do was go in there and my editing team and, you know, I didn't have to manually change it. I know how to do it one time, and that's what I did. And it was over after that, you know.
Okay. Now, so you not only are you writing novels, you're also doing Fee Magazine. You want to tell us about the birth of Fee Mag?
Well, unfortunately, we're not doing Fee right now. Probably we'll bring it back later in the year, maybe. But right now, I just have so many things going on that I don't have time for Fee Mag. But Fee was about female entrepreneurship, and that's what Fee stands for, Female Entrepreneurs Magazine, Elements of Divine Intelligence. And my goal was to bring women together from different walks of life, different professions, not just authors, but maybe people who own hair salons or got their own makeup line or, I don't know, their mechanic, firefighter, whatever they do. I wanted to know about females and their ventures in this world. So that was the purpose of creating Mag, and I wanted this to be a kickback place where we could talk about different things, depression, abuse, whatever, you know, sex, how women treat each other in the workplace. It's a very important thing. And even as authors, especially in the social media world, we could be really nasty to each other. So I really wanted to create a place where it was a safe haven.
Okay. We hope to see it back up and running. I know from doing Urban Grapevine Magazine that it is time consuming, and
yep.
And that's why I end up taking on a partnership, because it was literally stopping a lot of things that I have in the works, because it ain't just putting out the magazine. You got to deal with interviewing and staff and you know what I mean? And
that was the issue.
It's hard. It's hard. You know, there's a lot of authors who wanna say they wanna write, and they wanna write for you, and you know what I mean? But they'll write for you and never and nobody don't know, because they don't promote it. So it's really, this business is extremely hard when it comes to media, period. So, speaking of media, you also have Swag Radio.
Yes. My baby.
I know, I love it, don't you?
On Swag Radio, I interview authors. We are in our second year. I've interviewed over 150 authors thus far, maybe more than that, because now I do two shows on Wednesdays, so it's like double the people. But and right now my co-host is Miss Deidre O'Shea, author of Pills and Potions, and we just vibe out on Swag. Like, I really enjoy doing Swag Radio. One of the things that we do is support a businesswoman, so I do plugs for that. I choose a businesswoman every month. Like, this is my businesswoman of the month. And basically, it's free promotion for that businesswoman. And a lot of times, I buy listeners gifts from the businesswoman of the month. Last month, it was Miss Trillendorf Hogan. She owns Inspire Me Candles, and she makes homemade candles. So every month, it's somebody different.
Okay. That's a blessing. You know, it's hard to get. It's hard to get your business out here nowadays, period. There are not a lot of avenues that are willing to share, especially if you have similar businesses. Like me and you, we're almost like, you're like the Muslim me.
Yes, I guess so, because we're into a lot of the same things. So I guess I am like the Muslim you.
You are. Yeah. And the magazine, the radio, the writing, you step into a realm, though, that I have yet to do because I have a fear of not producing a book with some meaning and not just having a children's book. So we're going to talk about Samira now.
Okay.
Samira has a trip. She goes, this is for people who don't know, which there are probably not many who don't know, but in case you don't, this is a children's book. And Samira takes a trip to the masjid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you not fear putting out a book and being,
urban fiction author? I did have that fear, and I wanted, what happened was when I contacted the illustrator, right, I told him to put Shahada, which means mother of Shahada. My daughter's name is Shahada. So Shahada is also my attribute. My name is Yara Kareem Shahada. So I wanted him to put Shahada on the book, but he put Yara Kalima. So I just was like, I'm not even going to argue with you, dude, because he's one of those people who are very, like, stubborn. So I was like, you know what, you can leave Yara Kalima, and it's doing just great as it being written by Yara Kalima. So I'm not...
You know. I think that people need to see the diversity in your ability to write and to reach, because you reach in everything that you write. You extend yourself, especially with this, because it's a children's book, and you know, people don't realize our kids go to school with a little bit of everybody.
Absolutely.
And now people are firm on their beliefs. More so than us growing up. Like when I my best friend was Jamaican, and I didn't even know what that meant. But I know I went to her house and she was cooking goat, and I was like, "What? I ain't eating that. Goat? You don't do that." Like, you know what I mean? And and I think the next night we had oxtail, and I'm like, "Oh, see, I'm not gonna be eating over here. Can I get a bowl of cereal?" You know what I'm saying? Honey, if you only knew back then, I had missed out on a goodie. You know what I'm saying? And we shouldn't wait till we get a certain age to begin to try to understand what is not like us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about Samira going to the masjid, was it hard to get other children to kind of explain who Samira
it
was?
It wasn't difficult. I read this book to my daughter's school. It was like the whole school. She goes to preschool, so it was like 25 little kids. And they accepted it pretty well, and I guess because it's a very colorful book, you know, and I explain every little bit of what's happening in the book. So I think that, you know, it wasn't that difficult to transition between teaching them about Samira and going to the masjid and what the importance of it is. I think that explaining to adults is harder than explaining to kids, because my daughter gets it. She's like, "Mommy, we Muslim, right? And because we Muslim, I have to wear a kimono like Samira, right?" Yeah. So and she's three. So
she does,
you know, explain. She does sometimes, but then we go to certain places, or it's the Eid, which is like Christmas for us, you know, or it's Ramadan or something like that. She will wear kimar, but she's a typical three-year-old. She don't want that thing around her neck, and I could understand, because half of the time, I don't want it around my neck, you know. My head be hot. Like.
So
I understand,
for her, is it more so that, or is it sticking out? Because I, let me tell you, I moved to from Connecticut. You know, it's a melting pot. Got New York City right there, to Silicon Valley in California.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not being prejudiced because I think we all got a little bit of it in us, but I have never seen so many Chinese people and Mexicans and these Indians. Really. And, you know, when it's a melting pot of people, yeah, you know what, it just makes sense now. It didn't make sense until just now. But when you're in Connecticut, it's a little bit ahead of it. You got your Mexicans, you got us, you got white folks, you got us, you got different kind of Spanish people, Puerto Rican, Spanish, whatever they want to claim, Latino, or whatever, you got us. And then, you know, you got Chinese people, but they only scattered about in the hood because they own the restaurants. You know what I mean? And you don't really, like, go to school with them, and you don't really see them like that, but we know they exist. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when I came, and they're nicer when it's a melting pot. Now, come on out to Silicon Valley. It's predominant in tech savvy. So we got Google here around the corner, girl. Inbox. What's that? Dropbox, I'm sorry. Dropbox, Google, Yahoo. Honey, if you can work a computer and you don't got a job over here, it's a problem. That's why they call it Silicon Valley. It's pure tech savvy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Mexicans is looking at me like, nigga, what? Like, sorry. But they are. They're really looking down on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even looking down on
them. That happens to me a lot, too, because culture, first of all, I accepted Islam later on in my life, you know, so I wasn't technically born into Islam, you know, although I do believe that Allah always was my Lord, and I just accepted Islam, you know, when the time presented itself. But that's another story for another day. I see other Muslims. If you're not covered a certain way, you don't got your face covered, you ain't, your hands ain't covered up to the elbows, and you got your feet out and all this. So there are some prejudices, and it could be just as well as me, except the Islamic women in life, but because we don't dress the same or we don't keep our adornments the same, they look down on me. Or, you know, I go to school where there's a lot of Pakistani Arab Muslims. They don't speak. You get them in the salon, they just walk right on by like they don't see you standing there. You know, so there are some prejudice even within the different sects of Islam. So I get that a lot. I get a lot of people asking me what country I'm from, and I'm like, what? Like, one of my companions, she was asking me like what nationality I was before I accepted Islam, and I'm like, what do you mean? What? I was black. Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I was black. Like, what do you mean? Like, what nationality did I, was I from before I was Muslim? And she's like, no, because like, you're a convert. So, like, what were you before you were Muslim? Were you Baptist? Were you? Asking me, like, what religion were you before you accepted Islam? But she comes from everybody covers, so she's not sure if that person is Muslim. They could be Christians, but if you live in because of, like, you're Muslim, because the rules apply to everybody the same way, even though you practice a different religion. So she thought that that was considered nationality. So I see that a lot, too. So.
Oh, ignorance is just catching sickness. It kind of is. Or maybe we just expect people to know. Maybe that's just more so.
We expect people to know the difference between ethnicity, religion, and nationality. Like, but I could understand where her confusion came from because I had the same confusion. Like, I saw some girls that were covered the same way as me, but then when I said I'm not victim to them, they didn't say. I asked one of them, why you don't see that? She's like, I'm not Muslim, I'm Christian, but I'm from such and such place, and it's required of me to cover this. So I was such a little, what? We don't make sense. But that's their culture, and it's not their religion, so to say.
So when you, has your daughter had any discrepancies with kids that she goes to school, if she wears her kima, or
she's three. I haven't really experienced that with her. The only thing that I have experienced with this that she goes to now, she was in a daycare and they celebrate the holidays, and my daughter does not celebrate the holidays. So that was an issue for me. So I had to choose between letting her go to school or keeping her home when they're having like Christmas play. We don't celebrate Christmas, you know, or they're having Easter, or they're having they're giving out Christmas gifts, and it's like that prejudice against her. Like, one of her teachers from school was like, oh, well, Shahada can't get one of these toys because it's for Christmas. But I'm like, you exposing all of these kids to this, or you just want to exempt her and just let her sit there and look crazy because you saying to me that you bought all of these toys for the kids and every other 18 or 20 kids in this class is going to have a gift and my daughter is just going to be sitting in the corner? I don't think so.
Right, because you know, you can be where you can be. You know what I'm saying? You can be a family that is really high on not celebrating Christmas for whatever reason it is. You understand? But if you're going to, you got to make it universal when you're in school. But have you sat and explained to your daughter, like, why you don't celebrate Christmas? Does she have a, you know, Christmas? Does she have an understanding of why not?
She does a little bit, but why? Like, we're close to the family. Like, we all live in place, like, within, like, a 10-block radius of church. So we're always together as a family. And they celebrate Christmas. They celebrate holidays. And so it's hard for me to be like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, buy her something because we're all together. Even though I don't celebrate, I'm still with them. And it's Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever for the kids. So I kind of enjoy Thanksgiving because I just, like, food, so I'm going to eat regardless. Like, it's not like I'm going to eat for 6 minutes. It's only an hour back and forth. But, with respect to Christmas, like, I do try to expect the food we don't, and I try not to be so harsh about it. My husband is, sometimes he can be very harsh, is like relaying the message. So he's like, we don't celebrate that shit. And no, like, you know, maybe you just throw about it. And I'm just like, but she, like, you know.
Sounded a little muffled. Probably going to have to back up off the mouthpiece of your phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that, you know, when it is Christmas or holidays,
I probably will
buy like one gift. And then when it's our holiday, I don't write to them, I just give it to her. But when it's our holiday, which is the Eid, I go long out.
Why, like,
we celebrate Eid and why isn't it summertime? You know, questions like that. Now she's really starting to ask questions and getting ready to start fasting. And so she's like, why are you not eating? You don't want to? You don't want to get on fire. Now she asks this question, but before it wasn't really that big of a deal because she was still there.
Okay. You, when you, are you going to write? You're going to kind of write Samira to kind of like be the spokesperson for other children to understand your difference in religion?
Now I'm writing another children's book, which is called The Alphabet Avalanche, and it's not about religion,
but there is a diverse set of children in that book, and one of the
characters is Muslim.
So I'm planning for one because
I'm not using that editor that I.
Character,
I plan on making the little character in the
second book her own set of series
about
religion. about Islam and different things that are part of
our culture as Muslims.
Stay like where you are, because you're going in and out. You're kind of like really clear, then really muffled. So are you moving around?
No, I'm getting the same thing on your end, too. Like sometimes
I can hear what you're saying.
I can't. It's
probably just the oil.
You know,
because I can't even understand you. I can't hear you.
You can hear better now?
Yes. Much clearer.
Okay.
So, Samira, I'm assuming that this will not be your last children's story.
No,
right?
I'm working on another children's story. It's called The Alphabet Avalanche. And in that book, it's a diverse group of kids. One of the girls, she's just a regular African-American girl. Then there's a Muslim girl, and there's a Caucasian little boy. So I plan on giving all three of them their own separate little stories. So the Muslim character in that book will go on to, I don't know, maybe she's going to go to Hajj or something. or she's going to fast during Ramadan. So there's going to be some more Islamic fiction books from me for babies.
Okay. Do you get a lot of support within the mosque? Do you have people who don't appreciate Brick City Chick opposed to stories like Samira?
I only had one little issue, and that's when I first became an author. It's like my first book. It was Juma. You know, that's the day that we go to the masjid. Juma means Friday. So it was Friday, and went to the masjid. And a sister, like, we were really close, and she called me and was like, oh, could you bring my book to the masjid? I'm going to buy it from you at the masjid. So I was like, all right, whatever. So I get to the masjid, I give her book, and she's walking around with the book, and she's like, yeah, sister, I wrote a book, yada, yada, yay. And the imam's son, the imam is like the preacher, the imam's son, he comes and he's like, you wrote a book, let's take a picture, I'm going to put it on my Instagram, I know a lot of people, and he's like a rapper, he's like, I know a lot of people. And so we took a picture or whatever, and he showed a picture to his father, and his father was irate. When I say he was irate, he was irate, like, he was calling me a stripper, he said I used to be a stripper in my past life. All this craziness, like, he was asking me all these crazy questions, like, why was he supposed to be of Allah, and blah, 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 without even, like, asking, you know,
wow.
He just attacked me, and it was difficult. Yeah. It was difficult for me to, I think that it was more about, like, we were in the masjid and she bought the book for me. I guess he thought, like, I didn't pay my deposit or something. I said he was really just going berserk. He was like really going crazy on me. I don't know, like, and it took a lot out of me to be patient. He hurt my feelings to the point where I was crying. Like, I was in tears. Like, I couldn't even smoke him. I was like really hurt that he would even, like, it was even more crazy to me because he never spoke to me before that day. And he really hurt my feelings, you know. So that was the only real, like.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I can now, but I couldn't before.
Okay. That was the only time I really had a big issue.
Okay. Now, what is on the table for besides the crime? Are you planning on doing any more collaborations with anyone, anthologies?
right now I'm not working on any more anthologies. I do have a collaboration project that I'm working on, but we haven't really sat down to work on the actual book. So that'll be sometime this spring. We will sit down and work on the actual book. We're just getting our ideas together of what we want the book to be about. As far as anthologies, after Please Don't Kill Me, I'm really not, you know, leaning towards it. You know, Crystal keeps asking, but I'm like, I don't really know, because I don't want to put in all the work. You know, I don't want all of that to be on me. So I just, I don't know. I'm on the fence about that.
So are you going to be publishing under SWAG?
All of my books are published under. You can hear me?
Yeah.
All of my books are published under SWAG, but I'm not going to be publishing in other authors. I help self-publish authors through the publishing process. So basically, they just pay me for my services. I edit the book, format it, whatever I need to do, and you pay me for my services, and then I send you on your way. There are two or three of my clients that I do the whole process for them. I put it through a format, and I upload it to Kindle, upload it to CreateSpace for them. But I don't seek any royalties from that. It's just them paying me for my services.
Okay. I have a... somebody who came to me, and I can do certain services, but I don't do uploads, and so I'm gonna send her on over to you, y'all. Her name is Benika Robinson, and she is a published author under a publisher, but now she's going to do some self publishing. We were both under these people that were really crazy, and they kind of like I pulled out. My very first book, 2007. Something wasn't right. I knew something wasn't right. And I think this one person was like seven different people in the company. I think she was saying like she was this person, this person.
Oh, my goodness.
And wait, let me put you over to my secretary. She like really was the secretary. I think that what was going on, and that was my vibe anyway. So I took my first book from them. And that's why I met Benika, because she stayed, and I kept saying, girl, I'm telling you, something ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
And something wasn't right. And that, you know, publishing company ended up stealing everybody's stuff, and nobody even knows where she's at. Because I had, like, a bomb editor, like, and I did everything but a government background check. I mean, I am paid. Nobody's going to pay for the little background check. She don't exist, you hear me? The woman don't exist. And but she really is not trusting. And I do trust you, so I am going to send her and her little baby on over.
Anything that I do is confidential. I do contracts, all of that stuff with most of my clients, because I don't want you to be like, oh, you ever did this wrong, you ever did that, whatever, whatever. Like, I work for Vanessa Santiago German. I do all of her compilations for her children's books. Every book that she has out, I put together a set, Harlem Days out, because I met her after that. But every book after that, I put together, and their children's books, I have to do the whole upload for her. So, you know.
Yes, because you sent me a mini little blessing. Vanessa Santiago German. She's my bedtime baby's host. We're going to get it together. You hear me? He's going to get together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you trust people with, you know, your babies. And, they're not fit for it. You know what I mean? They're not fit to help. You know, people want to knock you when you want to keep everything to yourself. And they assume that it's greed. You know what I mean? Or untrusting. I'm very trusting, and that's the problem. I want to be able to run a tighter ship, even though people don't have to. People need to understand that we grow. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what your reputation is, right? Like, oh, Yara, she know how to spin. Yara, you didn't know? Yara is doing this, but we still are an equal person. And I trusted some interns that seemed to be together. That, was kind of funny. Because it was, I'm glad that person came to me and was like, I just wanted to be down, you know? You know, I just want to learn. I really don't know how to do but if you teach me, so I'm in the teaching
level
right now. So my ship is tightening, and I'm hoping that you're gonna still put out D Magazine, because we really need that platform for female entrepreneurs, for people to really understand. What business is really like in the here and now on our level of reach. I think people also need to understand that this industry is cutthroat, and it is really hard to balance life. And I think the entities that we pick up that don't make the kind of money that we want them to make, you know what I mean? But you see the money, you see the potential, and you know what I mean? You see the growth, and you don't let it go because you see it. You see it for yourself, and people also need to understand that it's hard to put your passion on the back burner for another passion that ain't really close to jail. But she is my blessing. We do have a new show on Let's Talk Urban that is called Bedtime Babies, and we are working out our kinks. And we had Miss Yana Kalima. That's how I know so much about Samira. And come on, and even had some practice shows with us. Yara, she has been my blessing also. And I would love to thank you for being a part of Let's Talk Urban, because I do know you do have a busy schedule, and even when you're trying to get your own shine and you're trying to get your own exposure, it still cuts into business, so to speak. And I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your time and your children's stories. I don't just mean your books, I mean your daughter's story, and getting personal, because some people don't, you know, and a lot of people shy away from it. So it's good to know that you are a human being, y'all, because I swore you was a robot. You got a lot going on, girl. So we know you are real. I saw on your post that you said Harlem Book Fair or Nall, and Harlem Book Fair, girl, that shouldn't even be a question. So, we know that we will be seeing Yara Kalima at the Harlem Book Fair, right?
You will probably see me at the Harlem Book Fair. It is the same day as the Eve, which, like I said, it's like Christmas for us. So, I don't know. I might be there, but I'm going to be at the Beer Recreational Center in Philadelphia on May 23rd. I'm also going to be at the North Public Library on June 20th, and I will be giving the first annual Strong Women Achieving Greatness Expo in North New Jersey on September 19th, and I am looking for female entrepreneurs to be a part of the Strong Women Achieving Greatness Expo. You could contact me at Swag Productions 2014. I could give you more information about the expo there.
And repeat that again, Yara. Repeat that again, because it's very important. And I would like for you to also send me that information. So we got the magazine coming out in May, and I'm going to give you a slot in that and on our website also, just so people will be able to, my reach will be your reach.
Thank you so much.
You know what I mean? And I will be able to announce it on the other shows that also are playing this week, just so that it gets the reach that it needs Two.
Absolutely. I said that we will be having the first annual Strong Women Achieving Greatness Expo held in New Jersey on September 19th. I am looking for female vendors. You could sell pocketbooks, desserts, sex toys, whatever you do. We want you at the Strong Women Achieving Greatness Expo on September 19th in Newark, New Jersey.
September 19th. That's so close. are you going to have any speakers, or is it just going to be an expo as far as vending?
I do plan on there being a financial mentor, some business leaders that are from my community or that I happen to stumble across. I do plan on having some poetry being read, maybe some monologues, and probably a short skit. And I might have some runway displays and makeovers. We plan on having a makeup bar there as well. So we do have a lot in store for any people who would be coming to the expo.
Well, you know what I'm good for, just about everything. So, you know, inbox me because, I can help you any way that I can help you. You know, I will. And sorry.
Absolutely, I know. You were helping me with, please don't kill me.
Don't hesitate to ask or, you know I'm going to be here. And I would love to send a columnist and a videographer also to represent Urban Grapevine Magazine to probably do an exposure type commercial put together for the expo once it's completed. To go around and interview a couple of the entrepreneurs or whatever, basically covering the event from Urban Grapevine Magazine perspective. And so keep me posted and give me all your little info because you know I'm going to plug it in.
Absolutely.
So we can shine. It's a great blessing to have people, women, not just people, women who understand that we do need to grab each other's hands when we take that step forward so that we come in strength and that when we do come out, it is powerful. So, I'll be here. Even let me know if you're going to take on some sponsors or whatever because I also do that, also sponsor a lot of different events, and right now I am proud sponsor of His Dying Wish, which is a movie film that Dreka Armstrong put out. Me and JDH and Dragonfly Productions, which is my wife, we have supported His Dying Wish, and we are proud sponsors of Tatum Crosby's new film called Confused. So let us know whatever we can do. We in the place. We have.
Yes, I will be sending the information to you, Felicia. Thank you so much for having me on your show tonight. I had a great time.
Thank you so much for being here, y'all. Right, we'll talk.
Absolutely. And I hope to have you.
Don't hang up right now. I'm going to bring somebody who's not been on the line. I had to
know.
All right. Area code 803.
Peace. How are you, Yara?
Hey.
I just want to say congratulations and keep up the great work that you're doing and making a positive image in young African-American women. We do appreciate all that you've done and all that you have contributed thus far in the industry.
Absolutely. Can I ask who it is?
This is Ms. Arthur T.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate you.
You're so welcome. You are so welcome. I am following you. I may not plug in every day and say something to you, but I have my eyes on you. Keep it moving and keep doing the great things that you're doing. And we need more young African-American women just like you to keep stepping up to the plate. And they're making a difference, and I see the difference in you. And I just wanted to holler at you and let you know that I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You ladies are so awesome.
Oh, she just got me grinning. I'm over here just a grinning all teary-eyed. I can't see coming up right here with all these emotions.
You know what? Let me tell you something. It's a great thing to be thought of, and it's also a great thing to be put in the spotlight. And when your turn comes, I just say step up to the plate, relax, and do just what you're doing. And I see you moving in different arenas, and he's making a powerful statement within you. So I just say keep up the good work, and Felicia, you know what to do. Keep the grind going, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for calling.
You're so welcome.
Don't you just make you smile? I can't stand that little happy
girl. Wonderful. I'm so excited.
You know, I mean, she just make you feel like, dang, I accomplished that. You know? I touched
the phone is breaking up.
Oh, well, I was saying she just make you feel good. She make you feel good about
yeah,
her
she does. Thank you, Miss T, for calling.
Yes, I'm so glad that I noticed that she had been holding on for 10 minutes. but like I say, Yara, thanks again for coming on. Let's Talk Urban, and we appreciate you bringing what you bring to the platform.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, listeners, we have. We'll be wrapping it up in about 10 minutes, but I'd like to do this little segment that I think I'm going to start bringing on to Let's Talk Urban in regards to the show itself. And we're going to have a segment where we're going to play some YouTube crazes. And not just YouTube crazes, but we're going to bring on our youth. You know, I do an article for Miss Hustle. That's who I call Tamika Newhouse. And I do an article for AAMBC, and it's called I Got a Question. And last month, I did the question about why women are so fast to throw each other under the bus. And I'm kind of learning that I guess there's just a set type of woman that does do that. But the majority of us are really trying to push forward and be positive and leave long-lasting good impressions on what we do. And we are giving each other that hug and that pat on the back and that girl I got you feeling. And this month I will be putting out I Got a Question about YouTube crazes. Are they for the 5 minute fame, or are they for purpose? Is there a message in these YouTubes more so than the ratchetness and the craziness that does get put out on here. Even though they are funny, people are really crazy. And even the young ones that get up in here and talk about ratchetness, it's almost like an awareness for the next girl. It kind of is bashing to some, but just like with urban fiction is a message. The message in the ghetto is this, in the street, in the smack a pimp, kind of say, smack a hole from a pimp. There's still a message in that. And that message is that lifestyle is not for anybody. You understand what I'm saying? So when we watch these YouTubes where the youth really speak it to the youth, I think parents need to pay attention to the message and not necessarily the ghetto-ness, shall I say, or skip past the cussing and skip past the name-calling and really listen to what these kids are trying to share with each other. And I came across a video called, her name is Tashina Naressa, and she's really schooling her sisters. It's hitting about 770,000 views. And she's calling it Now Let's Talk Facts. You guys, you really, really, really have to pay attention. So she's really talking about how I got a question, basically. I got a question. And men.
Have whole ass, pretty ass girlfriend that's faithful and hold y'all down. And y'all never want to show her old, because I could post some random dangle mask bitch picture like woman crush one day, comment under her pictures with her eyes and all that. And if it was your girlfriend, she wouldn't get none of that. Like, what the fuck? Why cuff her if you're not going to show her off or sweat her? Like, what happened to all that shit you was doing to get her? Keep it up. Because why you playing with her emotions if the nigga out there that really is going to try to do his best to treat her right? When you lose her, you're going to be tight. Because the next nigga going to have her and be doing what he got to do to keep it. You're going to be still fucking with these dusty-ass little lame thought bitches who ain't going to do nothing but line you up for the right nigga. Now let's talk fat.
To see that was a bit much in her choice of words, but her message is clear, you know. I think we teach our young men the wrong things, trying to protect them from, I guess, what Tashina is calling the thoughts. And but we need to start schooling our daughters about the value of being loved and the value of growing up and experiencing young love, and that it's not always here for keeps. And it is like stepping stones for maturity. And like she said, you are literally being groomed, shall I say, for that good guy. So, young ladies, I want you to pay attention to not necessarily all of Tashina Narisa's videos, because I have not seen them all. But this particular video, I do understand where she is coming from. And she is also saying, guys, you know, what you did to keep your girlfriends, you got to keep being that person. That's for whatever type of relationship you are in. You know, friendship, regular friendship, marriage, camaraderie, you know what I mean? Stick to being the person that you were when you were trying to win a friendship or win that person for a relationship, because while you're not maintaining it, somebody will be maintaining it. Another man or woman is going to come and swoop up what you put all your time into in the beginning, but feel like you don't have to do it in the end. So I just wanted people to be mindful about this youth message. And I also am going to pay some bills, and I have a commercial that's in play in regards to the coming out of Urban Grapevine's new, or shall I say, latest issue that's coming out in May.
Hello, you have just reached Urban Grapevine Magazine. My name is Teresa Mason Browning. Next month, we will be bringing an all-exclusive new magazine with hot new topics and much, much more. Stay connected to Urban Grapevine Magazine. It's where all the readers get the latest.
Thanks. I'd like to take the time also to talk about what we're going to be doing in the weeks to come, and to also introduce you guys to Let's Talk Urban One's latest shows. We have coming in May a show that you guys are going to just eat up, and this is going to be a show we call Siren's Lair, and those who are strong riders do know who Siren is, and she is a reviewer. She is that reviewer that you're going to be like, I got to send my previews to her, you know what I mean, because she's a true and avid reader, and she is going to have her own show, and she's going to bring about some authors, and they're going to dig deep into the passion in their pens or the lack of passion, and she is going to be doing some on the radio reviews. We're working on Fridays for this show for Siren's Lair, and we are bringing back The Blueprint with Treasure Blue, and we have, like I talked about earlier, Vanessa Santiago German has a children's show called Bedtime Babies, and that will be airing on Thursdays. And so we got like a whole program through the whole week, 7 days. And Monday you'll catch Let's Talk Urban in full review starting in May. Today's show was a special tribute to Yara Kalima, because she is very supportive of all that UGMAG 3 does, not just the radio, but the magazine, as well as publicity. As, Tuesdays are going to be open for any prospective shows that are brought to the table. I do have a few people who have contacted me in regards to putting on shows, and auditions are still going on for that day slot. And then on Wednesdays we have our ever so crazy Penetrations After Dark. It's our erotic show with author Jonna B. and author Chris Finney. It gets heated up in here. Do you hear me? I say heated. It gets downright nasty. And because that's what it's supposed to be about. And then we have on Thursdays, we will be doing bedtime, like I said, Bedtime Babies. Friday, Siren's Lair. Saturdays, Treasure Blues. Sundays, the Nanosecond. The Nanosecond is going to be our most spiritual show, and I hope that you guys tune in to Dr. K, as she says, never say never. Never is never an option. I thank you guys for taking the time to listen, and have a good night.
Like a big merry-go-round, you're up and then down, going in circles trying to get to where you are. Everybody sits counting you out, but where are they now? Shaking in the